The phone in his pocket began to vibrate. Sliding it out, he caught sight of Maggie's name on the screen, and his pulse leapt with anticipation. Stupid. They were friends. Had been since they were kids. But she'd been giving him heart palpitations since he was 15, and no amount of time or distance seemed to dim the sensation. No matter what, no matter where, he'd always stop what he was doing to answer her call. "Hey, Maggie." Across the table, Mia arched a brow, and too late he realized he hadn't managed to school the tone of his voice. "Is this Porter Ingram?" Another woman's voice. Definitely not Maggie. Unease began to unfurl in his gut. "Yes? Who is this?"
"My name is Genevieve Kessinger. I'm a friend of Maggie's."
Kessinger. Friend and boss, he remembered.
"What's going on?"
"I'm calling because she passed out at work today and is in the hospital. I know you're not her next of kin, but I didn't want to call her pregnant sister, and you were the next most frequent contact."
For one stunned moment, his mind simply blanked. Then his heart began to pound. Maggie in the hospital? She hated hospitals. As far as he knew, she hadn't been in one since senior year of high school, certainly not as a patient. She had to be fucking terrified. Already sliding out of his chair, he demanded,
"Where is she?"
Genevieve named the hospital.
"We haven't been here that long, but she's been admitted and they're running tests."
He was aware of Mia trailing him to the door.
"I want to talk to her."
"You can't. As I said, they're running tests. I practically had to threaten her job to make sure she agreed to them."
For a few heartbeats, he squeezed his eyes shut and saw her face at 17, ashen, terrified, screaming as they wheeled her through the double doors in the ER, away from him. Willing back the old, helpless rage, he shoved open the door with more force than necessary, surprising Jolene Lowry and her husband, Kurt. He waved an apology and made a beeline for his truck.
"I'm on my way. I'll be there as soon as I can."
"I'll have a private jet on standby in Johnson City."
His hand stilled on the door handle.
You really?
"She's one of my best friends, and money is not an issue for me, Mr. Ingram. I don't know what they're going to find, but I think she needs someone from home here for her. I'll text you the address of the airstrip."
"Thank you."
As soon as he hung up, he yanked open the driver's door and finally glanced back at Mia.
"I'm sorry, I have to go."
Expression dialed to concern, she crossed her arms.
"What's going on, Porter?"
"A friend is in the hospital. I have to get out to Los Angeles."
"By friend, you mean Maggie Reynolds?"
"Yeah."
"Why did they call you instead of her sisters?"
Mia might not have been in Eden's Ridge that long, but she'd already met the rest of the Reynolds sisters.
"Because Prue is more than 8 months pregnant. Maggie wouldn't have wanted her to have a shock."
She'd been going overboard on the worry and caution the entire time. It had been driving Prue nuts, but she knew what Maggie had been through, knew the obsessive research and concern came from a place of love, so she tolerated it with her usual good grace.
"Aren't you going to tell Kennedy or Athena before you go?"
"No, not until I can give them some definitive answers about what's going on. And neither will you if you run into them on site at the Misfit Kitchen while I'm gone."
"Fine. But what about the meeting?"
"I'll probably be back by then. And if I'm not, it's nothing you can't handle. I'm sorry to bail on you, but this is important."
After a moment's hesitation, she nodded.
"I've got your back. I hope Maggie's okay."
"Me too."
She'd be all right. She had to be. Anything else was unthinkable.